Wasn't that exciting? That's such good stuff. I tell you what, it's so exciting to see someone take some talents and use them. Felice, we enjoyed it. We truly enjoyed it. All right, turn in, if you would, in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, read verses 1 through 7. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Will you pray with me? Father, be with us in your word this morning. We pray that the truth and the wisdom of your word might touch our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we might truly get an understanding of what you want out of us, not just what we're trying to give you, but what you want out of us, Lord, and what is righteous and holy in your eyes, and what it means to you when we talk to you, and what it means to you when we try to convince you of things that, Lord, you know better than. This day be with us, dear Lord, in thy name we pray. Amen. Solomon moves today into a different area. He's talked to us, gave us a lot of observations, told us what he sees in the world. Today he's going to give us some advice. He's going to talk to us about keeping our mouths shut. Pretty exciting advice, isn't it? I think if we could all spend more time studying this passage in Ecclesiastes, we'd probably get a whole lot more out of our God. Because, you know, we're so caught up. And all of you know that go here very much know I'm very much a foe of religion. I think religion has polluted, distorted, and hurt Christianity more than anything that's ever come into the world. I think ritualistic worship has taken so much away from God because we've designed ways that we think God wants us to act, and God gives us in the Scripture how He wants us to act. We don't have to make up a bunch of rituals or traditions to please God. I think Solomon, as he moves here, he's telling us that, you know, he used an interesting expression in verse 1. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Keep thy foot. An expression, a strange old English expression, simply means watch what you're doing when you go to church. And that's probably something that doesn't play on our hearts too often. We have a tendency to be social churchgoers. We tend to show up at church because, well, just, you know, that's Sunday and people are going to think we should be there, so let's go. We too many times don't get committed to what church is about, and we lose that focus that God so much wants us to have, that there's a continuity to our worship, a way that He is a part of our life that doesn't get shuffled around. So many times I've told you that God in your life can't be a priority. When we take priorities, it's just, for example, in your life, if you have a priority that my priority, and we'll put God there, we'll say God, family, friends, job, whatever order you put it in, on a regular basis, priorities get shifted around. They get moved in our lives. What's priority one won't stay one if two has an immediate need. And so God can't be a priority because we can't have Him moving around. What God has to be is a way of life. He must be your focus in life and what life is about to you. He must become what you are so excited about that it shows in everything you do. That's kind of what Solomon's telling us here today. He moves to giving us some advice. And I, for one, am pretty excited because I've been listening to the last few weeks as we studied this, the wisest man who ever lived giving observations. And now we get some advice from this guy. And he's going to tell us things that God wants from us. And I want everybody to pay really close attention this morning because there's an importance here in the focus. You're going to see that God doesn't want to hear you rattle on. Okay, that's the only way I know to put it. He really and truly has no desire for you to have great, eloquent, articulate speeches when you pray to Him. He wants you, and we're going to see what Jesus said about it, He wants you to talk to Him, not spend your time impressing other people. And I've said it before, you know, I think one of the things that bugs me most is throughout my life in churches is to see superficial prayer. And that's to see prayer that's just painting such a beautiful picture or re-preaching a message. So many preachers in their closing prayer re-preach the whole hour's message. God doesn't want that junk, folks, and it's time for us to learn what He does want. Solomon says, verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not they consider not that they do evil. You know what the sacrifice of fools is? Empty words. Empty words. The sacrifice of fools. It's when we bring religious rituals into God's house and we think that those rituals are impressing God. Folks, let me ask you something. Do you think it means anything to a God that owns the world when you do a ritual? Do you think it means anything to Him? What do you think God wants from you? David in Psalms 51 says that God wants a contrite heart. He wants a people who aren't trying to impress Him with their words or their act. He wants a people that are spending their time drawing closer and closer to Him. And that's what Solomon is bringing us here today. When you go to church, he says, watch what you do. Don't go in there to pretend to be something you're not and think that when you walk out and people are patting you on the back and telling you, oh, that was beautiful or all that other stuff, that, folks, it means anything to God. What it means to God is that you walk out that door with an uplifting experience in your heart from God's Word. Or you may walk out that door feeling miserable. That's okay too if God's talking to you. There may be a point in your life He's trying to change or fix. But God doesn't want the superficial stuff. God wants what's real. So keep your foot when you walk in the door of the Lord's house. Don't give the sacrifice of fools. And He goes on to articulate it a little better for us. He tells us in verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Is there any more plainer way for the Bible to say it? Did everybody hear that? Now, you're all sitting there thinking, okay, preacher, so shut up in 15 minutes instead of 45. I know exactly what you're thinking. But preachers are exempted here if you look in the subparagraph. No. It's saying shut up. Don't say more than you have to say to get a point across. Folks, we I think sometimes really get on God's nerves. I really think we do. I think we're always spending these times developing these great eloquent prayers and God's saying, hey buddy, you told me what you needed to say about 30 minutes ago. Why are you still going on? Do you think you're going to fool me? Do you think the more you say, the more impressed I am? Nowhere in Scripture you see that. David said God wants a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He wants what comes from that. He wants what it means in your life that you love Him. He doesn't want you developing a whole section of your life to impressing people with your prayer or your words, and it can go on to preachers that talk too much, teachers that talk too much. It's not about what we say. It's about how sincere we are. You know, I've told many people in here, they'll say, you know, Pastor, I tried this, and my life didn't get any better. And the first thing I have to tell you, folks, is that the day you start something for God, He knows when you're going to quit. Okay? You can say, God, I'm going to go to church every Sunday this year. And God says, oh, you'll make it three times. He already knows before you do. So do you think it meant anything when you told him in the first place? Do you think that was sincere? No. It's so superficial. And that's what Solomon's trying to draw out to us today. You know, many times, and I spent years of my life drifting to church on Easter or Christmas, I was pretty faithful on 2 days a year. I mean, good at it. And I'd even wear, you know, nice clothes and everything and walk around like I was there every Sunday. But God knew the difference, huh? God doesn't need all these things that we do. He doesn't want your things, folks. What He wants is your heart. He wants the sincerity of your heart. That's why Solomon says, be not rash with thy mouth. How would we say that in today's English? Think before you open your lips is probably the easiest way to say it. Before you start talking to God, think about it. I think I've told y'all this before. I went to church in Carlsbad with an older gentleman that, man, when he would pray, it was like the windows of heaven opened up. It was just a beautiful thing because when he prayed, you know what? It was between him and God. It was not begging God to bless every person in the world. It was a conversation between that man and God, and everybody stopped and they listened and they heard. What a beautiful thing. He could have prayed for a half an hour and it wouldn't bother anybody. And that's kind of what Solomon's telling you. You know what? If you come before God, make sure what you bring is real. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 13. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, as I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much talking. But be not ye therefore likened to them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus started out in verse 5 with a strong statement. This is our Lord talking. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be. Does he say try not to be? Does he say work your way around it? He says don't do it. Don't flat out do it. I want to read some things to you here today, some what I think are beautiful prayers, and they came from kids. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? Dear God, this is good. I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Dear God, I am an American. What are you? Gonna love this. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it. This is great. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Dear Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let it be Jennifer Horton. I hate her. Dear God, I'd like to live 900 years like that guy in the Bible. Dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I will give anything you anything you want except my money or my chess set. Dear God, we read that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did it, so I bet he stole your idea. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. Dear God, please plan another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there right now. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got? What did you notice in common about all those little prayers? Didn't waste a lot of time getting to the point, did they, guys? Jesus makes a comparison here of the hypocrites. And he's, folks, be honest with you, he's talking about the religious leaders of his times when says, do not be like the hypocrites. They stand on the street corner trying to get men to see them and hear them. And it's not just in prayer, folks. Solomon's bringing something a point to us, across to us, is we have to be careful that what we're doing is to trying to bring a communication, a conversation between God and us, and not trying to impress the people around us. You know, we are taught, most of our behavior is learned behavior. Okay, most of the dumb things we do, we wouldn't naturally do, but we have learned behavior. Those things, habits we've picked up in our life that other people have brought across to us, and are that religious leaders or preachers or people have taught us, this is how you do something. Folks, Solomon's trying to get us back to the basics. When you approach God, you talk to God and let him know what you want him to hear, because let me ask you a question. If you get in a discussion with me, let's say Bill and I are in a discussion, and he's trying to convince me that we should have church on Monday, okay, instead of Sunday, because all the ball games are on Sunday, so he wants to have church on Monday instead. Now, Bill talks till he's blue in the face trying to talk me into this. What is he doing with all of his words? He's wasting them once he tells me the fact we should have church on Monday. When you talk to God and you throw all the other junk in, you know what you're doing? You're trying to talk God into something, aren't you? You're trying to convince God. Now, do you really want God to let you talk him into things, folks? Look back at your life and the mess you've made. Do you want him taking your advice? Do you really want that? I don't. My goodness, how silly. What a mess I'd be in if all those times God reached down and snatched me out of trouble, he listened to me. What a mess I would be in. Solomon's telling us that when we approach God, we don't use the sacrifice of fools. In other words, he goes on to say that as dreams manifest the things we're preoccupied with, our mouths show the world exactly what we're preoccupied with. It's funny to watch in church, and we've gotten so much better. But we'll walk in the church, and there'll be 10 things that need to get done before church starts. And there'll be pockets of people talking about things that have nothing to do with God's word in his house. And so we end up running up against a wire and reacting to time, and we're late, and we're saying, well, God, why do we do this? We'll do better. And he's saying, you know, if you just shut up. If you just shut up and focus on what I need done. Now, don't get me wrong. It's great to stand and talk together and fellowship together. That's not what I'm taking away from. What I'm saying is when we're doing something for God, it's got to be first and foremost. It's got to be a focus of our lives. And our words need to show what we really feel, not what we think God wants to hear. When you get in trouble with your wife, guys, of course you say what she wants to hear unless you're stupid. You figure out, what does she respond to best? Is it roses or candy? Do you buy her a new coat or a scarf? What? You respond in what? You act in the way she's going to. Folks, God already knows what you're thinking before you do it. Why try to fool him? That's what Solomon's getting across to us here. But yet we do it over and over and over and over again. We think that God wants the silliness that humans want. He doesn't. He wants a sincere heart. And he wants it expressed that way. And Jesus himself said, don't get caught stranded on the street corner trying to impress people with what you're saying to me. That's not what I want out of you. You know, Solomon also said there in chapter 5, he said, be more ready to hear in verse 1. That's tough, huh? Do you know of all the things in the Bible, that's probably the hardest thing there is, be more willing to hear? Don't you just love a conversation with somebody? Well, when you're telling them something, they're just waiting on their turn to talk. Don't you love that? You know they're not paying a bit of attention to you. They're just waiting on you to take a breath of yours so they can jump in. We're told in Scripture that we need to be more willing to hear. Because the more you hear, the more you learn. How many of you have ever learned anything while you were talking? Show me a hand. Anybody here ever learned one thing while you were talking? What did you learn?
Shut up.
To shut up, okay. When you looked around, you was the only one left in the room. You knew you did something wrong. We don't learn. We are to use a few words. We're to be more willing to hear. You know, one of the hardest lessons in life that I think for me to learn, and now it's one of the first things I try to teach the new deacons and people, is that when people come up to you and tell you what their problems are, you know what? They don't want to hear your problems. They really don't. And we spend so much time doing that, don't we? Somebody comes up and says, man, I've had a rough day, and you're all over them. Oh, you should see my day. You think yours is bad. Well, that's not what they want. They want you to hear. They want you to listen. They want you more willing to help by hearing what they have to say. Too many times we get involved in conversations with God where we're doing the same thing, where God is impressing upon our hearts that you need to change this in your life. And we're saying, but God, you don't understand. You don't really know why I do this, God. Let me tell you why I do stupid things like I do, and then you'll understand why I'm stupid. And God is not wanting to hear this. So be more ready to hear. Verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known how? By a multitude of words. That's scary, huh? Somebody tell me how much is a multitude? Okay, a bunch. Define it in numbers for me, Ben.
More than five.
All right. That's a scary statement there. A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Think how terrifying that is. You know what it means? I have no clue how much a multitude is. So I got to be careful. I'm not talking too much. Because by Ben's definition, if I say six words, I've gone too far. What the Bible's trying to impress upon us here is that the more you talk, the less people listen to you. The more you talk, the less God listens to you. The more you jabber, the less people want to be around you. And folks, this is the wisest man in the world telling us this. Keep our mouths shut more often. Now, is he saying don't talk? No. He's just saying when you talk, have something to say. When you talk to God, have something to say to Him. Don't make it a ritual. You know, the Lord's Prayer that we read about there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Matthew chapter 6 is a beautiful prayer, but Christ gave an instruction. He says, pray in this manner. He didn't say you have to repeat these words. He says, pray this way. Boy, it's pretty cut and dried. You acknowledge God is God of gods. You ask Him that His will is done. You ask that He gives you your daily bread. You ask He keeps you out of temptation, and what? You shut up. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it, folks? When you think about what Jesus instructed, he's saying, keep it pure and simple. And let me give you maybe, I can, if you'll think about this a second, you'll come to the realization. If we truly serve a God, then folks, none of us can be smarter than him. And the more we talk in any conversation is because we're trying to show how much we know. Is that not correct? We're trying to prove how much we know when we talk too much. Well, if God knows all things, we can't impress him. Is that a safe statement? We can't be smarter than him? Then why do I spend so much time trying to prove something that's impossible to prove? Now, I'm not taking away from a true, sincere communication to God. Solomon wasn't taken away from that. What he's saying is, be more willing to hear. Be willing to listen. And those of you who I've counseled with, one of the first things I tell you is ask you about your prayer life and tell you how much time are you spending with your mouth shut listening. How much time do you spend when you pray? Is it all talking and telling God all these wonderful things? Are you trying to hear what he has to say? I take you back to the conversation when you're talking with someone. Okay? You talk, and they're sitting there just waiting at a chance to pounce on you and get back to you. Well, if you're talking all the time, you'll never hear what God has to say to you. The Bible is absolute on that. But we have developed a ritualistic approach to God. That if I do A, B, and C, God's going to be so happy with me that he'll do anything I want him to. You know what? Jesus made a promise in the Bible. It says, ask anything in my name, and you'll get it. But we're very confused what it means to be in his name. It means to be within the will of God. What would God want at this point in your life? What would God like you to do, say, or have? That's within his will. If we stay on that criteria, you know something? You'll get everything you want. If what you want is God's will. That's a promise Jesus made. I can't say that, there may be somebody in here got everything they prayed for this week. If you did, that means you're doing good in your fellowship with God. But if you're spitting out empty words to God thinking he's going to listen, folks, that's Solomon's trying to say, it don't work. I mean, if the wisest man in the world is telling you, I tried it and it don't work, how much more advice do we need? Is there any place else to go with that? We keep it simple with God. And folks, this will actually make your religious life or your worship of God much easier on you if you'll understand it's not fulfilling the dictates of man. If you look at our website and what it talks about, it says that we do not believe that religion or tradition can intrude upon the truths of God's Word. There is nothing should ever get in the way of the truth of God's Word. Not a bunch of rituals and religion, and not a bunch of traditions. That just doesn't work. That's not what God wants. Verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Wow. Ever offered a deal to God? Be honest, shake your head. You ever offered him a deal? God, get me through this and I'll do this? Most of the people in the world have says, God, if you just get me past this, I'll do this. No show of hands, but look in your heart. How many of you have ever kept your end of the bargain? How many times do we make a promise to God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this in response. If you'll do this for my child or my wife or my husband or in my life, Lord, I can't pay my rent. If you'll just give me the money, I'm going to go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. Lord, if you show me how to get out of this debt I've buried myself in, I promise you, God, that I'm going to go to church, I'm going to tithe. We all make those promises. And we take it pretty lightly, you know. And we've even laughed about here in this church about the empty promises we make God. Do you know what, folks? If you go to Leviticus 27, we're not going to go there this morning. God takes your promises real serious, even though he knows you don't mean them. Do you know if you commit something to God, the only way to take it back is to buy it back? Understand that? God, when you make a deal with him, Solomon's telling you here, when you make a vow unto God, don't miss out on paying it. So I guess what I'm telling you this morning, if you ain't past debts to God, you need to settle up with him. He takes it really serious. And what we do is we project the weakness of man onto God. You know what? When you take a vow to God, he expects you to keep that vow. And he is going to be expecting payment from you, even when he knows you won't do it. He still has an expectation of you. Why is that? It's because he's a just and righteous God. And a just and righteous God does not accept lies or deceit. He just doesn't do it. He doesn't accept it. Even though he knows it's a lie, he will not accept that. It is sin. And a just and righteous God cannot accept sin. You know, the law was so hard on man in the Old Testament because the law motivated man by an external source, a sense of punishment to do what was right, to keep their word, to fulfill their vows to God. It was a fear of an external source, where under grace you and I should be stimulated by an internal source, and that's our love of Jesus Christ. That's what shouldn't be guiding and directing our lives and are moving us on down through there is that love of him. But when we make a bargain with God, we have an obligation to keep the bargain. And that's very scary to me, I'll be honest with you, because there's many times in my life I've said, God, if you'll just do this, I'll do this. I've done it many times and I haven't always kept my word. I have, you know, started out with the right attitude and kept it for a while. But then after time kind of dulled, you know, the repetitiveness of it, or I'm thinking, well, God's already forgotten and let me off the hook. Kind of like we think with people, you know. I'll come over and mow your yard. Well, the next time you drive by, the grass is short, so you're thinking it's all right. We make promises and deals and bargains, and we don't keep them. But we serve a right, just and righteous God. And when we do, we have an obligation to fulfill it. I don't know how many years ago it was with me, but there were a few years ago after studying Leviticus 27 that I come to an understanding when I offer something to God, it's his. I mean, it just flat out belongs to him, and I can't backtrack on that bargain anymore. That's what Solomon's warned about. He says, better you don't do it. Now, there's another side to the reason Solomon tells you that, is that he wants you to get a hold of the fact that you serve a loving God that loved you so much he sent his son into the world to die for you. Well, if you serve that loving God, don't try to make bargains. Plead with his for his help. He knows what you need. Say, God, you know what I need in my life, and please, please help me. And then go out and do things for God because you love him. Don't be doing it because you made a bargain with him. Fall on your knees in front of this loving God you serve, because I promise you there. Of the crowd here today, there's very few sitting in this room whose life are right where they want it to be. There's probably some of you, but very few of us. And the reason is, folks, is that we have instilled our standards on what we want our life to be and not tried to seek out what God wants our life to be. There may be some of you sitting here in this room this morning that were meant to be missionaries in some foreign land. There may be some of you guys that God called to be a preacher. There may be some of you ladies that says, you know what, prompt your husband to get out there and get busy doing the Lord's work. There may be many of you that God had this desire for your life and you did not fulfill it. You went off what your desire was. Well, the way we get away from that is we get on our knees to God and we say, Lord, no bargains, no false promises. Just tell me what you want me to do. And don't try to throw out so many words. Don't try to paint a picture that you think will manipulate God. You can't do it. God is not subject to our design. We're to be subject to God's design. That's all Solomon's trying to get to us here. He's saying, folks, if he could say it in the first person, if he could say it to us today, just standing here in our language, he would say, you know what? I lived a life that every man would envy. I had everything. All the money in the world, all the recognition in the world, all the fame in the world. I had everything a person could want, and it meant nothing. Now, I'm going to give you some advice so you don't go down the same path that I do. And he would say to you, learn that rituals religion, the silliness of man cannot bring you close to God. If there's any of you here today, let me challenge you with this. And I would take you to the book of James, but I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. James said this. He says that the tongue, it's like a rudder of a ship. Any of you have ever rode in a boat or a ship, know you have a rudder that turns it in the direction it goes. James says that's what your tongue is. That when you talk too much, that's where your life's going to go. That if you spend your time holding up false platitudes to God, you're going to live a life of false religion, false worship. There's some of you here today that have probably spent your life receiving religious instruction on how to please God. I want you to erase all of it in your minds right now, just for a moment. Jesus gave this instruction through the Apostle Paul. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is no kneeling, bowing, candles, rituals involved in any of that. It's a simple statement that if you confess Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that he died on that old cross and arose from the dead, you're saved. It's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? Could it get any simpler than that? See, all the junk us people have put that in. We've done some good things, and there's some good forms that we're about to worship. I mean, music is a beautiful thing, but it's not instructed for salvation. There's nowhere in Scripture says you got to have a preacher wearing a tie. In fact, whoever did that was perverted to think a man should have to wear this thing for an hour. But the fact of the matter is this, folks. It doesn't require training. It doesn't require rituals. It requires sincerity on your part. If you're not a Christian, it's just simply saying, God, I want to be one. And taking the time to confess him and to depend upon him in your heart for your salvation, that you know that you're on the way to heaven. If you're a believer, it doesn't require you spending your time trying to fool God. You can't do it. It's empty. Are there times you're going to pray for a long period? Yeah, I'm not taking away from that. There may be times you got a lot to express. What I'm saying to you is get back to the basics of what the Bible teaches. Get a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Then talk to God. Get yourself in the position that God wants you in. Ask him for instruction. You know what? Saying to God, what do I do? That's not a whole lot of words. That's asking a question and being willing to shut up and listen to the answer. He may tell you in a church service. He may tell you in your Bible. He may tell you through a Christian friend. He may speak to you directly in your heart. But Solomon's trying to get across to us this. When you walk in the door of God's house, be ready to hear what God has to say. When you're talking to God, listen. When you're making a bargain with God, if you're going to do it, realize God will hold you accountable for that bargain. An absolute accountability. That's the God we serve. He's an awesome, wonderful God. But he's not superficial like us people have tried to make him. Solomon, one of his statements there is that God is in heaven. Do you understand the implications of that? He is in heaven. Because he is in heaven, he is greater than us. Because he is in heaven, he is our God. It's a simple matter of surrender of your will. It's a simple matter of putting away the desire to impress people with what you say. It's a simple matter of just saying, Jesus, here I am, broken and useless. Please make something of me. That's all it takes. Please stand. What number? Brian's going to sing an invitation for us this morning, so I'm going to ask all of you just to stand. We'll have a word of prayer, and then he'll sing for us. If God's touched your heart today, if there's something that come out of this word that lets you realize that you're not on the right track, then folks, that's the wonderful thing about God. He is in heaven. He has a right to say, you're forgiven. You can be forgiven today, but you have to let him do it. If you come to church on Sunday and he touches your heart and you leave with a burden, you come back the next week, you leave with a burden, folks, you're never going to get happy. God wants you happy. He says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A wonderful, full life. Whatever age you're at right now in your life, I'm going to tell you something. It's not too late to have an abundant life. whether you're young or old or in between, God wants you to start today having a communication with Him that is simple and basic, that says, God, I'm listening, whatever you tell me to do. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, it's just such a joy to, in your word, you remind us so often that you don't expect a whole lot out of us because we're just human. What you expect is a sincere surrender to your will in our lives. Father, I pray this morning that I know when to shut my mouth, Lord, and just listen, that I don't spend my life with the sacrifice of fools. In thy name we pray. Amen.